Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathy Kay, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, October 21st, 2020. Today we are reading from the Big Book on page 12 in Bill's story, the fourth paragraph down on the page. Today's readers are Brandy M. reading the 12 steps, Anita L. reading the 12 traditions, and reading the text are Margaret D., Penny L.C., and Robin P. Our newcomer greeter later on will be Christina L., and making announcements later on will be Leslie M., and Elaine B. is starting and stopping our recording. Today's reference numbers are as follows. Yesterday, 10 a.m. East Coast time meeting, October 20th, the share ID is 15,581 or 15581. And this morning, 7 a.m. East Coast time meeting on October 21st, the share ID is 15,589 or 15589. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Brandy M. to read the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous.
Good morning, it's Brandy. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Canada, Alberta. One, we admitted we are powerless over food and that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for the knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive readers and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for your service, Kathy.
Thank you, Brandy M., for your service. And Anita L., would you please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous? Thank you.
Yes. Good morning, everybody. This is Anita L. from outside of Philadelphia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me share. Have a beautiful day. And Kathy, I'm sorry if I interrupted you speaking. I came on too soon. Sorry. I pass.
No problem, Anita. Thank you for your service. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book on page 12, the fourth paragraph down. And I will ask Margaret D. to begin reading. Good morning, Margaret.
Good morning. This is Margaret D. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, great. Thank you. My name is Margaret D. And thank you for all your service, Kathy. And I'm a gratefully recovered compulsive eater in Georgia. So the reading starts, it was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required of me to make my beginning. I saw that growth could start from that point. Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Of course I would. Well, the first thing that hits me about this paragraph is how much of it is in squiggly writing. So that tells me that it's really pretty important. And I want to go back just to one of the earlier lines from yesterday, where Bill says he was moving from the icy intellectual mountain that he had lived and shivered in, excuse me, and now he stood in the sunlight. So that's where he's at when this paragraph begins. And the thing that hits me is, so we know that he may be used to being in that icy intellect, but I don't necessarily know that he's happy there. So far, he's just pretty content with being right, even though it's killing him. And moving into the sunlight is starting to think that maybe I can be happy. Maybe there's a better life for me. And so then when he goes on and he says, it was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself, nothing else was required. I go to page 51 in We Agnostics, and he says, God is already working in everybody's life. Oh, I'm sorry. But Bill's not consciously aware of it. But on page 51, he says, the consciousness of God is within every man, woman, and child. So that consciousness is already there, and it tells me that it's his ego that's been keeping him in the icy, I've got to be right, instead of the sunlight, which is it possible I could be happy? And then on page 55, a little bit further in, he says, faith in some kind of a God was a part of our makeup, just as the feeling we have for a friend. And then in this paragraph, he goes back and he talks about, upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I saw in my friend. In this case, my friend was my sponsor, and I was having such a hard time trying to deal with moving from the icy intellect into just trusting for once and, you know, not having any expectations. And the fear that came up was just huge, because what if I was wrong? What if I, you know, said yes, that I do believe that there's a power greater than myself. And that fear, again, of being wrong overpowered the hope that I could be happy. And so up to that point, I'd rather just be right, with a frozen heart, a fat head, and frustrated hope. And I was stuck. And my sponsor said to me, Margaret, if you can't conceive of a power greater than yourself, then you can borrow mine. And I was dumbstruck. And it's that last sentence about, would I have it? Of course I would. If nothing else, I could believe in the power greater than my sponsor that my sponsor used. And my sponsor said, he's big enough for the two of us. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Margaret D., for getting us started. Okay, and now I'm going to take some names. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day on this meeting in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you haven't shared on Monday and Tuesday this week, we'd love to hear from you. Who would like to share?
Michelle. My name's Larry G. from Northern California.
Okay, I heard Michelle. I heard Larry G.
Bruce E. Right.
Bruce E. Was
that Leah?
Leah? Did I hear Leah?
Freya with an F.
Freya. What's your last initial, Freya?
H.
H. Okay, thank you. And who else?
Aaliyah S.
Aaliyah S.
Miriam Rifkin K.
Miriam Rifkin K. Anybody else? Okay, that's a great starting point. Michelle, please give me your last initial when you share. Larry G, Bruce E, Freya H, Aaliyah S, and Miriam Rifka K. Okay, let's start with Michelle. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Good morning, Michelle J from Arkansas. Recovered and recovering every day by the grace of God. Thank you, all of you on the line, for all that you do today. So the topic is, yeah, this I see intellect that turns into a belief in a power greater than myself. A couple of years ago, I crashed. I mean, I crashed hard. I knew nothing about food or OA. I just knew that that something was really bad going on. And, you know, God knew that day, and he knew the time, and he had a plan. And so the first thing I remember doing is crying out to a power greater than myself. Immediately, a counselor, I contacted this counselor friend of mine, and immediately he sent me a book. All of a sudden, at the end of this book, it talked about OA, and so I went directly to the program. In OA, there was a person who said, "Have you heard about Vision?" And I turned on Vision, and then I got a mentor, a food plan, and 12 steps. And I threw myself a couple of years ago into this. I worked it. I've recovered. It's been beautiful. But lately, I have felt out of juice. It's kind of like that slippery, icy, intellectual mountain thing. And, you know, my sponsor called me and, well, she can't meet with me this week. Oh, well, whatever, I'm thinking. And my mentor, well, one of my mentees, well, she couldn't meet. Well, I'm whatever. And, well, Vision is on. And I'm like, oh, yeah, well, what? I was losing something. I wasn't sure. Not my program, not my abstinence, probably close. But by gum, something was going on. I had no poop to poop lately. And so I wake up this morning and I'm listening. And all of a sudden, through this meeting, through listening to all of you, wow. What was the first step? I cried out to a power greater than myself. That was the key. I had kind of got into the program, got into the steps, got into the food, got into measuring, and I kind of left that first thing off somewhere. The plug got so, the line, the electrical cord got so long, I got unplugged. That's where I need to abide. That's where I need to remember. That's the beginning, and that's the power. That's the power behind it all. Without the power, none of this is going to work. I would just have this thing of, if we were on a cruise ship and it was coronavirus and you had no phone, you had no peeps, no mentors or mentees, and you left your big book somewhere and you couldn't go get it. Even Bill was kind of like this. He didn't have a big book. But what is the source of the peace and the joy and recovery? God, the power greater than ourselves. And it was just such a joy today because I want to stay there. I need to stay connected with my power today. Everything else is already in place. But, yeah, I need to build that relationship stronger back with him today. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Michelle G. Larry G., please share with us.
Good morning, Vision people. Thank you for giving service. And what a wonderful reading. I'm going to go back and listen to that today. I want to speak out to the new people on this call. The key word in that paragraph is willingness, a willingness to believe in a power greater than yourself. And in these meetings, we're going to talk about God, but there are 7,500 people, I think the last count, in Visions, and 7,500 people have their own concept of God. I think the 12-step programs get a bad rap. I've written resentment and God letters on this, resentment inventories and God letters. You'll read that 12-step programs are a cult. If you want to join a 12-step program, you got to drink the Kool-Aid. 12-step programs have God freaks in them. It is such a really poor characterization of 12-step. Because there's nowhere in that big book that says you have to believe in our concept of God. You find your own concept of God. It can be a tree. It can be your 140-pound Rottweiler. It could be a light socket. There's people in this fellowship that do not follow any specific religion. They follow maybe an Eastern philosophy where in that Eastern philosophy there's no God. There's Native Americans I know in my hometown that tell me there is no God or the word God or devil in their language, but they're some of the most spiritual people who walk the planet of the earth. I'm going to say this. If you decide to leave this program because of this God thing, you're not leaving because of this. Because if you read the book, thoroughly immerse yourself in it, find a sponsor, a vision sponsor, go through the steps, you're leaving not because of your prejudice to God. You're leaving because of your addiction. And I beg of you, don't leave. Find your own power greater than yourself, however you want to define that. It's up to you. Thank you so much for allowing me to share. I just wanted to shout that out because it can be really overwhelming to new person come in this group. You know, the meetings, sponsorship, God, language that may be new to you, reading the big book. So just take it one day at a time and just be willing to consider, you know, your own concept of power grading yourself. Thank you so much. I'm out.
Thank you, Larry G. Bruce E., please share with us.
Well, thank you. Thank you, everybody on the line, especially those that are serving. I'm Bruce E. I'm recovered in Florida. I really like this paragraph, too. And Bill doesn't have to do much here. You know, right? I didn't have to do much. You know, it says it's only a matter of being willing. You know, I mean, that's not a whole lot to have to do. You know, I got to be willing. And I was willing. Now, why was he willing here? Well, he's willing because he said, I might build what I saw in my friend, okay? Upon a foundation of complete willingness, I might build what I build what I saw in my friend. Would I have it? Of course I would. Well, would he have what? Well, what he saw in his friend was sobriety. His friend had his act together. His friend was looking really, really good. He tossed a drink. He slid a drink over to him. His friend turned it down. He was able to turn away from the sugar. And he had that. And Bill knew he was hopeless. So he said, would I have it? Of course I would. Yeah, he would have what his friend had. Yeah, and the only thing he had to have was just a little bit of, he didn't have to have much willingness, he just had to have a little bit of willingness. And one time my sponsor was talking to me, and he said, you don't have the willingness to do that, do you? It was something that was going on. And I said, no, I don't. He said, well, pray for the willingness. So yeah, if you don't have the willingness, pray for it. But I really believe everybody has this amount of willingness that Bill had, you know. And he wouldn't have had much, but he had enough to be willing to go ahead and believe in a power greater than himself and go on and start doing these steps. And nothing was required of me to make a beginning. Nothing more was required. So in other words, he had to start somewhere, you know, so he start with a little bit of willingness. We all got that. We're on the line. If you're in the food, you're on the line. You got the willingness. That's it. That's all. You got the willingness. Call somebody, start doing the steps. I saw that growth could start from that point. In other words, there had to be a point where he started. That's where it's going to start, with a little bit of willingness to believe. And upon a foundation of willingness, I could build what I saw in my friend. Yeah, he did. He built that. And he, because his friend sponsored him, and he built that willingness. He built on that, got sober. The obsession, compulsion lifted on him. And this is what happened to me. So I got on this line. I asked for a sponsor. Or I asked somebody who they knew, you know, could sponsor me. They gave me some names, like phone numbers. I called them. Got a guy that was a sucker enough to take me. He did. And still sponsoring me after 3 years. Now I'm recovered. And I had that willingness to believe in another person, and I saw that person was like Abby here, and that guy had put down the liquid sugar, put down the solid sugar, and was not crazy with the food, and I wanted what he had. And he said, well, if you want what I have, you'll do what I did to get it. And that was just some simple steps, you know, go through the steps, read the book with them, do a little reading, make some phone calls, go on some meetings. It wasn't a lot of work, you know, it really wasn't. And it happened, the miracle happened. So don't leave until the miracle happens. I'm Bruce, I'm recovered in Florida, And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce E. Freya H., please share with us.
Good morning, Freya H., recovered compulsive eater bulimic in Colorado. Great to be on the meeting this morning. When I heard this paragraph read, I was thinking about applying it to what's going on for me now, instead of, back when I was just connecting with my higher power. And so I was applying it to this idea that whatever I'm dealing with now, where am I still agnostic? What character defects just feel like that icy intellectual mountain, like they just feel impossible to surmount, and recognizing that I'm not responsible for removing them. I'm really not responsible for the progression of my recovery. I'm responsible for just, taking the actions, taking direction, following the directions as they're given. But it's not up to me to make it happen. And so all I need to do is be willing to believe that there is a power greater than myself, and trust that this power can restore me to sanity with whatever I'm dealing with, whether it's, whether it's food related or character defect related or relationship related. And I find that so hopeful that all I have to do is believe, or be willing to believe, that God's already working on the solution, especially when it feels so insurmountable, that's usually a sign that I'm trying to do it myself. And I just love, it's very, very comforting to see nothing more is required of me to make my beginning, but it's saying that it's just a beginning. I can't stop there. I have to be willing to grow. That growth could start from that point. So it's not saying all you need is willingness and that's it. It's saying you start with willingness. That's all you need to start. But that the goal is that I'm going to continue to grow. So anything that I'm facing today is not impossible, because my higher power is taking care of it. And another thing that comes to mind is this idea that the steps are in order for a reason. And, it can be overwhelming to look at the steps and think, oh my gosh, what an order. I can't go through with it. But I have to trust that as I go, when I'm done with one step, I'm going to be ready for the next step. That's how they work. It's amazing. So just be where I am and trust that, that there is a power greater than myself who's going to guide me through this process. I just get to, just take whatever the next right indicated action is and try to stay out of my head. So thanks for the opportunity to share. I will pass.
Thank you, Freya H. Let's see, Aaliyah S., please share with us.
Hi, good morning. My name is Aaliyah S. in Northern California, compulsive overeater. I'm returning, and this is exactly where I'm at right now. And so I remember when I was little and my grandma had passed away, and my mom told me that she went to heaven and, was going to spend eternity with God. And I would cry myself to sleep trying to comprehend what that meant. And I've spent the last 30 years trying to still understand what that meant. And it has never made any sense to me. And I've wrestled with my concept of God and, what God is and the he, she thing. And what's happened now is that I have met the end of myself. I have tried all possibilities to try to quit, and I can't. And, I've gone back to church, and I've tried different courses in spirituality, and I'm Native American, and the Sweat Lodge, and all of it, and none of it has made sense to me, and none of it has really helped me to stop compulsive overeating. And so what's happening this time around, after a long year-long relapse and trying so many different times and writing want ads to gods and list of what this higher power, that I need it to be, what I've come to realize is that I'm drowning, and I'm dying, and I'm about ready to go under, and I can't hold my breath any longer, and my sponsor threw me a life raft, and I'm not going to question what it looks like and what it means and what company, you know, is made from and what color it is. And I'm just going to grab onto the life raft because I saw that it worked for her. And I don't get to see the starry-eyed look in her eyes, but what I hear is the power of God working in her life. And she's on the other side of that wall and has been delivered from compulsive overeating. Her mind has been restored to sanity. My first sponsor said that she wouldn't eat a cupcake for $1 million. And I was like, man, this girl was crazy, because I would. And now that I see that I've met the end of myself and there's no other option, I just had to keep it really simple. You know, it's a power greater than myself. And you know, the belief of my consciousness is sure to come to me. You know, if by working the rest of the steps, I believe that I will, you know, after I've worked the steps and working with new people, that it will grow. And that's what it says right here. You know, I'm built, being willing to believe, you know, and growth could start from that point. And so what am I building? I'm building an arch through freedom. And this is the foundation. And I've surrendered to the idea of trying to figure out what God is and just make commencing on simpler terms. You know, this power is greater, and I've seen it work, and all of you, and you're on the other side of that wall, and I want to be there too, so I'm willing to continue and just commence at simpler terms. And I think with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Thank you, Aaliyah S. Miriam R.K., please share with us, Miriam.
Hi, it's Miriam R.K., calling from New Jersey. I just wanted to jump in because I'm also doing this right now. I've been struggling in program a little bit with the concept of, you know, my higher power really restoring me to sanity. I think part of the reason that it's been hard is because I grew up with a higher power and I still have that higher power, and I kind of keep going back to that childish version. And when push comes to shove and something super scary is happening, I go back to that childish belief of, yeah, this is what happens. Like, yes, there's a God, but who cares? Because all these scary things happen anyway, and you're alone, and you're not going to be okay. I'm so grateful. I was guided to an AA speaker. I was listening, and one of the things that he said was, you know, like what we're saying here, you know, our own conception. He said, all you need is to be willing to act as if a higher power will help you. And I've kind of been practicing that. That something will come up and it will seem scary and I'll think I won't be able to let go of it. And then I'll...
Miriam, we can't hear you. Press star one to unmute.
Sorry, I'm back.
Okay.
I'm just willing to trust that you've got this. I'm just going to pretend. I'm going to pretend that you're going to take care of this. Another AA speaker put it like, he was like, well, I'm going to the movies. You take care of this, and I'm going to the movies. And while I'm in the movies, you work it out. And if I look back, I really know that I've had experiences where I kind of let go and higher power took care of it. So I just wanted to share that that's what I'm practicing for today. Like when I get stuck and I'm just like, no, but this is really scary. Like this is really too big for higher power to do. I just kind of like, I'm just pretending. I'm just saying, all right, I'm going to pretend that you're taking care of this. And it's been working, you know, it's been working out. And I just wanted to share that with that. I passed. Thanks.
Thank you, Miriam. Okay, wonderful shares, and I am now ready to take some more names. Who else would like to share?
Wendy P.B. from Chicago.
Okay, Wendy P.B.
Jody H.
Penny C. H. Penny C.
Mary K.B.
Sherry KB. We maybe have time for two more. Maybe. Anybody else? Okay, we'll begin with these then. We have Wendy P. PB, Josie H, Penny C, and Sherry KB. Please share with us, Wendy.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
I can.
Perfect. Thank you so much. I'm Wendy PB from Chicago, a compulsive overeater, abstinent today by the grace of God and the fellowship of this program. I'm so grateful for that. Coming up on 3 months of abstinence, which is, as you all know, just a miracle, just incredible. and when I heard this paragraph read, I'm in another program, and so I know the big book. And I had experience with a higher power, and I came into that program very desperate. And so I had that experience of turning things over to a higher power and the serenity that came afterwards. But of course I still had the food. And I remember when I first came into this program asking someone somewhere along the line, can you promise me that abstinence will be better than, you know, my favorite foods? And the answer was a resounding yes. And, you know, I asked several people because at the time I wasn't believing it. And the answer always came back as a resounding yes. And I'm very blessed that I was able to get abstinent my third day in coming to OA. And it wasn't too long before the cravings ceased. Because they told me when I came in to work it like my hair was on fire, and so that's what I've been doing. And I was miserable enough that I had the willingness, I had that foundation of complete willingness to do what the directions said to do. And I finally had that experience. I couldn't tell you how long it was, but I know it was relatively short, where I had that experience where the compulsion was lifted. And the obsession was lifted, and I was able to eat my three meals a day and my snack and live my life in between. And I realized how long it had been since I was living my life in between. My life was just from food to food, you know, favorite food, compulsive food to compulsive food. And the time in between was just how long until I can have my next fix. And so I am just so grateful for this freedom that I have had and for this wonderful feeling of being regrounded in the program and in the steps and regrounded with my higher power. I remember feeling this way 29 years ago when I came into that other program. And somewhere it got lost in the food obsession. And I'm so grateful to have this again. And it all just starts with that foundation of complete willingness. I'm a stubborn one. I got to be really, really miserable before I get to that willingness. But I'm so grateful that I got here. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy PB. Josie H., please share with us.
Yes, it's Jody
H. Oh, Jody. Thank you, Jody.
No problem. I feel like I wanted to share something, and everything that the last sharer had to share was what I had to share. But I'll say it again because it must be meant to be. My name is Jody H., and I'm from the state of Maine. And I'm a compulsive overeater working to recover with the 12 steps and my higher power in this fellowship. I am also 3 months abstinent, and I also have been in a Vision for You since I gave up totally with complete defeat this past May. And I am a very stubborn person, much to my demise often. But my higher power search, like Bill's search, came from a willingness. Now, I actually, my sponsor had asked me if I was willing, and I said, I'm not willing. Even though I have complete defeat, I'm not willing. I don't believe. And my sponsor said, well, are you willing to be made willing? And that's where I started. I started with a willingness to be made willing. And since then, it's been wonderful. My higher power has kept me in this program because my higher power, God, has made it clear to me that there is a solution, and it's through the big book and reliance on a higher power. I love there is a solution. Anyway, I just wanted to share that sometimes it's hard to come even to be willing to have a higher power. And I encourage all those who might be searching and hesitant in spite of complete defeat, hang in there and go start where you're at, and greater things will come, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jody H. Penny C., please share with us.
Hi, good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody on the line. I'm Penny C., recovered compulsive overeater in the Boston area. And I see this paragraph and the word willing as being so helpful in working with others. You know, over the many years that I've been working with other people, I've occasionally come across people who are so adamant about there is no God, I can't believe, I guess I can't do the program, and they seem to want it, but they aren't willing to concede that there's a power greater than themselves. And so, you know, reading this paragraph with them and saying, you know, you don't even have to want it. You just have to be a little bit ready, just in case it comes to you that there is a higher power, because it's true. You can't work the rest of the program. Step one tells me that I don't have the power to, and the big book is saying that the purpose is for us to find the power greater than ourselves. And so the point of having some kind of a power, and I like one of our fellows who's an atheist, and he talks about how when he came to OA and his sponsor said, you need to have some power other than yourself. And he said, but I'm an atheist. And his sponsor said, what do you believe in? What are you? What are you willing to believe in, ready right this minute to believe in? And he said, well, I believe in truth and beauty. And his sponsor picked right up in love. And his sponsor picked right up on that and said, there you go. That's your higher power. So the big book tells us that this program is simple, not easy. But there's a case where it's pretty simple. Anything outside myself that I can admit is higher, has more power than I do, is sufficient in order to work the program. And so, I just wanted to make that point that in working with others, and there's one person in particular years ago that I wish I had known about and brought her to this paragraph. At the time, I it wasn't that clear to me, and I think it would have helped her a lot. And so thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Penny C. Sherry KB, please share with us.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. Very grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. Thanks so much for your service, Kathy, and everybody on the line, and Team Wednesday, and welcome newcomers. I love this paragraph. Notice it is in italicized, the beginning of it. It was only a matter of being willing to believe in a power greater than myself. Nothing more was required. The whole thing is except for right at the end. And, you know, for me, I can't tell you how many times you know, being told to pray for their willingness to be willing. And I would say, but I'm not willing. And they said, okay, and tell God that. And so I'd tell God, God, I just want you to know I'm not willing, but I'm praying for the willingness to be willing to be willing. And, you know, it worked every time I did that. All of a sudden I noticed the loosening, you know, of the not willingness started to become the willingness, and then I prayed for the willingness, and then I was willing, and it happened. And it can happen for you too. You know, there's a thing called the how prayers. You know, at the end of the doctor's opinion, it talks about being open, honest, open, and willingness. And, you know, in the willingness part of it, it says, God, please help me to be willing to be willing. Because without that, I have nothing. If I'm not willing to believe in something greater than me, which was mentioned before. And just, that's what it's saying. And, I hear sometimes somebody on the line saying, you know, willingness is overrated. I don't think so. I think you have to have the willingness. I think that has to be the foundation to believe in a power greater than yourself. And I know that that's what I had to do. And then notice it starts out with just a matter of being willing. And then it goes into nothing more is required of you. But then at the end it said to have a complete foundation, you know, you have to have complete willingness. So it's a matter of going from not being willing to pray for the willingness just to be willing and to then become willing. And it's amazing how when I've gotten on my knees and done that and telling God, in any situation, I'm not willing to do this, but I'm praying for the willingness to want to do it because I don't, God. And I'm not kidding. Every time that's happened, I've become willing to do something in a situation. And that can happen for you. It can happen with abstinence. It can happen with anything. And also, I just want to comment about how I have to pray for the willingness to let go of my ego every morning, because I need to remember every day that I'm a compulsive overeater and food will never fix anything. And so every day I'm on my knees praying for the willingness to give God my self-will and to take God's will and to just keep going. And I pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Sherry KB. You know what? I think we have time for one more share. Is there anyone who with a burning desire to share? Anyone want to share?
Evan R.
Go ahead.
Elaine B.
Okay. I think we have Kevin R. and Elaine B., if each of you can take a minute and a half, that would be great. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hi, Evan, the E, Evan. California.
Go ahead.
Recovered compulsive overeater. Yeah, like the Bill story has been great. I think with the willingness aspect everyone's been talking about, for me, I like that the stakes are low. And that's kind of true for just OA in general. Like, hey, you want to stop eating? All right, you're in. Like, are you willing to believe in something that's bigger than yourself? Yes. And in reference to this part, when I started 12-step, I had a very, very powerful conception of God, but what I couldn't understand is a God that wanted to help me or really how to utilize that God. So I think the 12 steps in this program has really shown me how to, I don't want to say use God, but essentially like enable my higher power to help me with things, compulsive eating, et cetera, lifestyle behaviors, thoughts and emotions and such, and really kind of make my life centered around God, centered around the steps. But it wasn't something, it's something that I want to do. It's not really forced. It doesn't really sound like, it kind of sounds like it's like a command, but for me, it was really something that I realize now that I want to do. It's how I want to live. That's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan. And Elaine B., please take a minute and a half. Thank you, Elaine.
Thank you so much, Kathy Kay, and everybody on the line. So, just being willing, nothing more was required to make a beginning. It makes me think of the set-aside prayer. God, please help me set aside everything I think I know about you, about this program, about my disease, and be willing for a new experience. So, he told us a lot about what he thought about this higher power, that he really wasn't willing, but, just come to believe that any power greater than ourselves can get us started. And it makes me think of, the first time my husband asked me out on a date. It was 16 years later that we got married, but we had made a beginning. There was just a willingness and openness to explore. Not a lifetime commitment at this point, no guarantees. No, he didn't get on his knees the first day and ask me to marry him. Nope, nope, nope. You know, we're just beginning. We're making a beginning. And what happened to me and happens in this book is we get rocketed into a new dimension. Life takes on new meaning. And there are so many promises in this book, so I hope you find them, and especially promise one, the one, page 100 promise, first paragraph, page 100. Check it out. That could happen for you better than you could ever think, hope, dream, or even imagine. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Elaine B., and thank you, everyone, for a wonderful meeting today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Penny L.C., would you please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Thank you, Kathy. Thanks for your service. Good morning, and good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny L.C., a grateful recovered compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.